Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. You can tell Mercury is getting ready to retrograde, I swear, because I couldn't get my camera to work. I restarted my computer, and it is now working. I don't know why or how that happens, but it's working. I forgot my coffee. I made it. It is sitting in the coffee maker. So grab your cup of water or your coffee or your tea, whatever's at hand. And let's talk about astrology for the weekend, shall we? I hope you guys can hear me because my headset feels weird because there's sound. It's noise canceling. So someone just say, yeah, I hear you, that kind of thing. So here we go. You know, another wonderful Mercury retrograde in Janet land where it always seems that my technology just doesn't want to do what it's going to do. So just beware, everybody, that that is happening, right? That is happening. And yeah, I have had to practice patience many times this morning, right? My son's birthday is this coming weekend. Actually, it's next week. So we're heading over to the islands this weekend to visit him. And the ferry system in this state is such a mess. And on the 2 days prior to every sailing, they release new reservations. So you get into the reservation system, and it took me from 7 a.m. until 7:45 my time to get a reservation for a ferry. It's ridiculous. Thank you for letting me know you can hear me, Debbie and Terry. And it's good to see you, Tom. He said, ay, 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 it's August. I hold on to your butts. Love your Leo cover. I know, I love that design. Asa actually made that graphic for me for last year when the sun was moving through Leo. And when I was searching for Leo graphics to make up that cover, that popped up and I went, why not use that one? I love it. So we have a lot to talk about this morning, none the least of which is where the moon is now, which I have no idea. Let's see, today, Friday, the moon is in Cancer and shifting tomorrow morning early into the sign of Leo. That'll be awesome. A Leo weekend. I kind of like that. Cancer, of course, the sign of nurturing and mothering, the sign of emotions and the sensitivity to feelings and emotions and moodiness. There's always that as well. So there is where the moon is. But today, I really want to talk about the new moon. It seems like Sunday is like D-Day for the weekend, right? Sunday is when Mercury turns retrograde. It is also the day that Venus moves into Virgo, both of them now in Virgo. It'll be Mercury, Venus in Virgo. And we also have the new moon. So we're going to talk about those three things today, as well as kind of taking a look at those things through the eyes of human design. And that's why in the cover article there, I wrote, make sure you have your human design and your astrology chart so you can see where these things are happening for you, because it's an important weekend in terms of setting the stage for the month of August, right? For the whole month. I mean, we have, we enter into the calendar month, which I've not yet turned my calendar. I just noticed that. We enter into the calendar month with some pretty big things going on, but I find that the new moon is probably one of the most beautiful moons that we've had in a while. And I want to break that down for you, as well as taking a look at the Sabian symbol for that. And remember, the Sabian symbols were written years and years ago, last century, right, with a channeled message for each degree of each sign in the zodiac. So 360 degrees of information kind of encoded in every degree. And this particular new moon is going to be at 12 degrees, 34 minutes of Leo. So find your chart or get your chart and find Leo. Here's the symbol for Leo right there. I even wrote Leo underneath it so you would see it. It looks like an upside down U, kind of the outline of the lion's mane. And wherever that happens to be sitting in your astrology chart is where this new moon is taking place. And the reason we want to know where Leo is in your chart is because it's placed in a house. If you take a look at the chart, and some of this is review for you guys who've been with me forever, but for some of you, it's new. But if you take a look at an astrology chart, you see all the different pie-shaped pieces. Those are called houses. And each of the houses represents an area of your life. And it always begins here at the first house. And it moves around this way, right? Counterclockwise. If this were a person, if this chart is for the new moon, but if this chart were a person, their new moon would be occurring in the first house. Okay. So in your chart, it's going to be somewhere else. In my chart, it's in the second house. But it can be in any one of the 12 houses based on your personal natal chart. So the house is going to rule the area of which things are going to happen. So the first house is the house of self and identity and self-expression and viewpoint, how you look, right? How you behave. And if you have, you know, Leo on your first house, and I know a couple of you out there listening do, then your first house is the area where something new, a new intention, a new thing that you want to manifest about yourself can take place. All right. And that's what the new moon is always about. It's about starting something new, right? It's the opening act, if you will, of an intention that you want to create something in your life, right? So that could be anything, literally. And, you know, Leo is a sign that is ruled by the sun. So we have a lot of power in these intentions. So it kind of like tells us we have to be very careful what we wish for, be very careful what your intention is. And more than that, not just what is the intention, but what is it that you're actually focused on with your mind? Are you setting an intention, but you hear yourself saying that ain't going to happen? Because if so, that's a cross purposes kind of intention. And literally, it isn't going to turn out the way that you planned. And there's something else to be said about this, because I also noticed in our Pleiadian Earth energy or astrology that the new moon falls on 10 planting. Now, planting energy is seed energy. So it's really a good day, energetically wise, here on Earth for planting the seeds for something new, right? Putting like the seed in the soil, doing all the things that you need to support its being able to grow into a full-blown idea or full-grown plant, if it's a seed of a tree or a plant, right? And then it's a 10-day. It's a universal 10. That is the energy of manifestation. And what Pia has told us many times about the 10 is it really depends on what you're focused on, how that intention is going to show up, right? So it's a double whammy here of energy for planting the seed, staying focused on what you want, being in the positive, in other words, seeing it happen before it happens, right? There's this whole idea of really tapping into what could be and the possibilities as opposed to what is, because in the beginning, what you want or what you desire really isn't there except in your mind or in your imagination or in the words that you speak, right? Because the words bring it to life. All right. So let's take a look then at what a Leo new moon could mean for us. And then we're going to look at it in terms of the Sabian symbol and the human design gate that it happens to be sitting at. Okay. So first of all, let me say good morning to everybody that's out there. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. Great to see you. Tom, I'm so glad you're with us. Terry, I'm so glad you're here. And Soul Strategy Therapy, that is Narges. Good morning. Good to see you. And Debbie says, still no AC. Oh my gosh, girl, how are you surviving that? I hope you have like portable ACs maybe that can help. Oh yeah, yeah. Or go to a hotel. Although that's kind of pricey, I'm sure. Asa, good morning. It's great to have you with us. J-Lo, hello to you, my friend. Great to have you here. And Asa said, this is my natal new moon in Leo. I love it. Sunday, J-Lo says, is my 6-2 emotional generator birthday. She will be 20. Woohoo! Happy birthday to her. Christine Buckingham, good morning to you. So We got all the niceties out of the way and the recognition of all you out there and whoever's listening, but not really in the chat. Good morning. Welcome. Okay. New moon in Leo. So this is a very dynamic new moon because it's not just the new moon. It is, which the new moon in and of itself is lovely, beautiful, wonderful. Leo is full of life, full of direction, full of self-expression, but it's also placed in a sextile to the forming Jupiter-Mars conjunction in Gemini. Now, Leo and Gemini are energies that are harmonizing with one another, right? The idea generation of Gemini meets up with the expression energy of Leo, and things move along quite nicely, thank you very much, right? So this is vibrant, this is dynamic, and it's great. It's perfect energy for initiating projects or expressing yourself creatively in whatever way that is for you, but also revitalizing the things that you are doing in your life, right? Or revitalizing your communications, revitalizing your social interactions with people. It really blends Leo's fiery and expressive nature with the intellectual, versatile, curious energy of Gemini, and that creates or sets us up for a favorable environment for enthusiastic action, right, on our intentions, whatever that might be. So if we break it down a little further, so we have creative expression and enthusiasm blended together in the new moon, irregardless of its, you know, connection to Jupiter and Mars in Gemini. So this boosts our creative powers, right? Our creative juices, they're really running overtime. And it can also boost the drama and also our wanting to stand out in the crowd. I woke up thinking about something to do with this morning, and now I can't put my finger on it, but it was something about a dream I was having. And now I'll have to think about this one. The new moon here really fuels our desire to start something new creatively or breathe new life into existing projects that we have underway, right? Many of you do not know this, but Asa, you do, that I was melting down yesterday. Because all week long, I have been working on one project, and every time I tried to put it together, something would happen to it, and it wouldn't work. And I was having people tested in the background. It would work fine for them 1 minute, and the next minute it wouldn't. And the people that were helping me with it are completely over in the country of, I think it's Germany or somewhere over there, and there's this time lag. And it would take hours in between a problem developing and me getting a fix for it all week long. Totally frustrating. But this morning, it's all fixed. It's working. It's like breathing new life into a project that yesterday I told Asa, I'm done. I'm not working on this no more. Nope, not playing with this. Sometimes letting it go is what you need to do so that it can leave space for it to get fixed or to be reinstated or whatever it is. Note to self, right? So this is a great time for creative energy. Again, either new or something that has been maybe a problem child, and you have injected new energy into bringing that into realization. There's also a level of playfulness and joy that should be the string running through this whole thing, or the theme running through the whole thing, because the playful spirit of Leo combined with the new moon encourages us to find fun, to find romance, or to celebrate what makes us happy, right? To get out, to reconnect with your own inner child, and enjoy life's pleasures. So don't forget that in the mix of you creating something, it really needs to be something that is playful and joyful, enjoyable, something that you're passionate about, something that you really love, something you'd really love to do, and bring that forward into being. It is also a time of intellectual stimulation and communication, right? The harmonizing sextile, which is a 60 degree relationship between the new moon, sun moon conjunction, and Jupiter Mars conjunction in Gemini brings up this energetic conversation ability, right? Or it's Mars in Gemini is pretty quick witted and communicative, right? There's wanting to talk, right? Chatty Cathy energy. And it makes it a great time for us to engage in lively discussions, negotiations, networking, social interactions, right? It's all, pretty high on our list. And the sextile to the new moon in Leo adds charm and grace and confidence to our words, even how we interact with one another. And it makes it easier to entertain others or to be entertained by others, as well as to be able to persuade others in supporting us in our creative endeavors. Don't forget, it is also Gemini energy in Jupiter and Mars in Gemini energy is also about learning and exploring new things, right? Mars can stimulate our curiosity to go out looking for answers to different questions. Maybe we're investigating something that is new. Maybe we're exploring a topic that is of interest to us. Maybe there's a new book or a new course or a new something that you are wanting to pursue. And it can be particularly fulfilling and enjoyable when we have a new moon in this kind of connection to Jupiter and Mars in Gemini. So it's also about initiative and taking action. Mars is the action planet. In astrology, he is really the one that says, put your time and your money and your energy into action. Do something. Don't just sit back on, think. You got to actually do. Right, so we're combining doing and action energies. And Gemini's influence here might stimulate curiosity, but that curiosity needs to lead to some kind of action. So make sure that you have this initiation or initiative energy, and you have the capacity to take action on it, right? It makes that time for opportunities for us, right? This really plays into the whole initiating of new projects, right? The new moon does that, no matter what sign she's in, right? No matter what sign that combination happens in, there's always this new beginning pulse. But it's particularly powerful right now in the sign of Leo, especially if your intentions or what it is that you want to create are involving your creative self-expression or communication in some way, right? Because that makes it very powerful. We have to also balance assertiveness during this time. And that's because Mars and Jupiter, remember, Jupiter amplifies whatever it touches. Also, case in point, Jupiter is in Gemini, and in Gemini, it is in its detriment. Jupiter doesn't operate all that well in the sign of Gemini. I totally keep forgetting to speak to this when we talk about Jupiter's good side in Gemini. But there's also this other side of this energy that can be overblown, right? Can scatter the goodness of the energies, the curiosity, getting involved in too much, right? So with Mars also in the sign of Gemini, and he is not in his fall or detriment there. He's, neutral here. So he's able to take action. But the action, because Jupiter's kind of diddling around here, Mars' action is like, let's do this. It provides the drive for us to do these things. So Leo Sun Moon gives us the confidence. Mars and Gemini, the action, Jupiter giving us like options for the things that we want to be involved with. So our approach to all of this, to the setting of intentions for the new moon, needs to be balancing thoughtfulness with actions or assertion, right? You can't create anything. Even setting an intention is an action step, but you can't just sit in the intention without taking action, right? Lots of us know this. We know this but we don't do this. We just keep thinking. We just keep wondering. We just keep asking questions. I do anyway. I don't know about you guys, but I'm betting that some of you are like this, forgetting that you actually have to take action, take a step, do something, right? Physical. So overall, the new moon is about taking new action, starting new projects, setting intentions for the passionate things that you want to create in your life. And it is a time of enhanced social life where we are very much more friendly and interacting with people, more interested in social gatherings and getting together with those people that stimulate our imaginations, perhaps, or family or friends, things like that. And Mars, of course, there in, you know, kind of giving us the ability to encourage these lively interactions between people. Here's another more business-oriented thing that comes up, and it's about personal branding. And I guess it's not just business, right? This is, you know, each one of you has a personal brand. It's about how you enhance or project forward your professional image or your personal image, right? So this is a great time to do an image update, right? I've been bugging my granddaughter. I haven't been bugging her actually yet, but I'm about to bug her because all of my pictures that I, graphics that are, or I use are older. And the bio picture that I'm using was from 2014. I should probably update that, right? So that's part of my personal branding. This would be a great time. I hope she's going with us Sunday. Maybe I'll have her take pictures of me on the beach in Friday Harbor, right? That would be a way to update your social media presence, your social pictures, your portfolio, your resume, all these kinds of things that better reflect your talents, your aspirations, just you in general, right? So don't forget about that. Learning and development, of course, always a part of this whole Jupiter in Gemini, but now with Mars in Gemini and in a connection with that new moon, opening us up opportunities to do workshops or to do courses or, you know, follow our interests into a more profound understanding, that kind of thing. We do have a couple of things to watch out for, right? You knew that would happen. One is over enthusiasm. Jupiter and Mars coming together really do ramp up this enthusiastic, action-oriented way of being. And I can already even feel it, you know, building up inside of me as I'm talking faster, as I think all these ideas are coming in while I'm trying to talk, right? And sometimes that can lead to restlessness because there's so much going on up here. And we're not sure what is the best course of action to take next. Sometimes then we can overestimate our energy, our time, our resources, taking on too much, you know, committing ourselves to too much from a sense of overenthusiasm, right? I'm excited. I can take it all on, right? Except can you really, right? Or, you know, even if you can, should you? Is that really real for you? So watch out for that. And Mars and Gemini can help Jupiter scatter our focus and our energies across too many interests. So try to, you know, channel that vibrancy in a specific direction, into a productive pursuit rather than just letting it, you know, sit around and percolate in your head or worse yet, dissipate, right? So we want to be able to take action. So take that fiery energy of the Leo new moon and the intellectual agility of Jupiter and Mars and Gemini, bring them together and start something new, right? Set a very powerful intention for something new, something that requires both your brains and your boldness, your courage and action, right? Bring all those things together, right? Inject some fun, inject some passion, and this should be an awesome moon for you. All right. Questions. Let me take a look real quick. Good morning, Teddy. And Asa says, good idea. I'm not sure what we're talking about. Nope. Eighth house, Terry Lee Strauss says, that must be where Leo is for you. And that would mean for you, Terry, the eighth house is the house of death and rebirth. So I usually find that house to be a transformational sort of place, a legacy almost, like we tend to want to focus on what's left behind as if we passed away today. Like if I were to die today, what would my eulogy look like? Right. So sometimes that helps us get perspective on the things that we've really desired to do and or to be. More importantly, who do we really want to be? So that when that eventuality happens, we did as much of it as we could, or we became who it is that we wanted to be. But it is also a house of money that comes to you from other sources, like a spouse's income or tax refund or lottery winnings or inheritances, things like that. So that's where yours is. Thank you, J-Lo, for that reminder, because I am so bad at self-promotion. If you are listening to this video this morning on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up button and subscribe if you haven't yet subscribed to my YouTube channel, Living Astrology. And if you want to, you can also hit the bell, and the bell will tell you notifications for when I am on air. If you are watching me this morning on Facebook, hit the whatever button it is. I think it's like. Hit the like button. And in all cases, share with your friends and your family, anybody whom you think might be interested in astrology and human design. And thank you very much, J-Lo. Catherine Worcester, good morning to you. She says, happy to be here. Now, let's do something a little different now with this new moon. Before I launch into the human design aspect of it, I want to read to you what the new moon is about in the Sabian symbol. And the Sabian symbol here is really giving us kind of insight into human design, right? That's what I saw. And, you know, by the way, this stuff was done like in the 20s or the 30s, in the 1920s, 1930s, like 100 years ago. Wow, 100 years ago. And yet, so there was no human design at this point, right? So there, the authenticity of the system, right? This is the astrological mandala, which is by Dane Rudyard, but is really the same thing as the Sabian symbols in this case. It adds authenticity and an air of authority to both human design, astrology, and the Sabian symbols. So let's do this. In the Sabian symbol, so this would be for the placement of the sun and the moon, right? So they're both in the same degree. And it says, an old sea captain rocking himself on the porch of his cottage. So literally, that would have been the picture that the channel person was seeing for that degree. Okay, so an old sea captain rocking himself on the porch of his cottage. The keynote here says, the quieted mind's recollections of crises and joys long past. Now, let me remind you where the sun is this week in human design. It's in the gate of retelling. It is in the gate of maybe historical stories, right? And here's what this says. The sea captain has steered the ship of his ego consciousness through seas and storms, maintaining the integrity of his individual selfhood while in close contact with the collective unconscious. Now retired, he may try to distill wisdom from his many experiences and from his victories over elemental forces. The swing of the child consciousness has now become a rocking chair from which one can contemplate past as well as present scenes, gently moving as waves roll over the shore. Peace at last. And the key word for this entire degree is called quiet recollection, right? Quiet recollection. So now let's apply that quiet recollection to what we know about the placement of this new moon at the gate 33 called retelling in quantum human design. And I'm going to share a screen. Hopefully I have that open because I was messing around with something behind the scenes. Let me bring that up. I closed the window. Okay, hold on. So I need to go into the program that allows me to share a chart presentation with you. And let's do that real quickly here. I got to go back to Chrome. I was in Chrome. Here we go. Sharing my screen. The window. Chrome tab. There we go. So you guys should be seeing a sort of blank human design chart at this point in time. And I'm going to click into the throat center, which is where the gate 33 sits. So here is where our new moon is, the sun conjunct the new moon. Now, what do we know about the throat center in human design? You've probably heard me talk about this many times, and if you haven't, let's just review. The throat center is the gearbox from which we want all the energies from below to move up to the throat, and the energies from the head and the ajna coming down to the throat for communication, for manifestation, and also for metabolic purposes, right? The being able to bring and to be able to use energy for creation. That's what metabolism is all about. So the gate 33, where this is happening, is called the gate of retelling. And it offers us a profound opportunity for reflection, exactly what that Sabian symbol was giving us. It is also about transformation in terms of how we communicate. It's on the communication center, right? The throat center. And it's associated then with the action, with the manifestation of ideas into reality. And also, you know, backing up a step, the communication of said idea outward from us to the world, or spoken through an intention, perhaps, that will bring the idea into reality. But it's also the manifestation, the actions that we'll take to get there. So in a way, the 33 energy in traditional human design, I think, was called privacy, or it was called withdrawing, something like that. It was really a very powerful time when the sun went here to reflect on past experiences, still is. And then later sharing the wisdom that we've gleaned from those experiences with others. So it's not just about, I think, I ruminate, I consider, I review, I reflect, I become, you know, more introverted. It's really about where I take that information and then I share it with others, right? So the stories that we tell. And in quantum human design, then the name retelling comes into play here, because it's not just about, okay, yeah, this happened, right? I lost my job, or I had to move, or, you know, I lost a loved one. But that's the experience, and it happened likely in the past. So what is the wisdom that you've now learned from that experience? That's what you want to share with people. Why? Because there are common experiences that we all share, right? We don't all share the same thing at the same time. So there's all of these different opportunities for things that we have experienced in our lives. And we come into contact with someone, perhaps, who's just lost a loved one, or someone who's just, you know, had their job change, or has to let go of something that they really love in order to do something else. And those are common things. And what we can do then is share from our own experiences and, you know, help them in the retelling, the reframing of their own stories. But it begins with the reframing and the retelling of your own stories, right? So your own stories. And that takes time for reflection, time to withdraw, time for introspection. And since the new moon, which is at this gate, is a time of new beginnings and setting intentions and planting seeds, it's important for us to pull back a bit from the everyday busy, 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 to reflect on what we've learned and or of what has occurred in the past or in the previous cycles of time that we've been in. And that might be just since the last new moon. It might be since this time last year when the sun was again at this gate 33. So it's a time for gathering your personal insights, for understanding the lessons that life has presented you, and then forming an intention that includes the reframing or retelling of the old stories. I hope this makes sense to everybody, because this is everybody experiencing this. Now, some of you may already have the gate 33 defined in your human design chart, and that's okay, right? Whatever planet you have there is, you know, flavoring, if you will, the nature of this energy of withdrawing and reflecting and so forth. But now you're adding the new moon here. So it kind of ramps up that energy a titch for you, right? Because now it's kind of multiplied in its influence. If you don't have that gate normally defined, then this is new energy for you. And it may take you into territory that you're not always very willing to go into, or you don't naturally fall into, giving you this opportunity for time for privacy, for solitude, and maybe processing through your thoughts and feelings. Now, isn't that interesting that it's a Leo gate? A Leo gate that's full of fun, and now with communication with the Jupiter-Mars conjunction and all of these things that we are really having to somehow bring together, and it can be a little chaotic feeling to us. There could be these butterflies going on inside as we're thinking about, well, you know, this is the experience I've had in the past, and I don't know if I want to experience that again. Maybe I'm afraid to put it back out there. And the possibility here is in the retelling. What did you learn from the last launch of a product, let's say, or the last time you entered into a relationship, or the last time you left a job? What did you learn, and how does that apply now, right? This is what that energy is about. And then sharing wisdom is the huge part here, because, you know, every one of us has to reach out and be able to converse with others who've had similar experiences, perhaps, right? That's our path of service for one another as human beings. And after that period of withdrawal and reflection, then Gate 33 focuses our energy on a strategic planning of sharing our insights and our wisdom. And this gate is not about open emotional. It's more about how we've expressed through our experience and our learning. It's experiential sharing, sharing knowledge of your experiences, but when the timing is right, right? You can't like just walk up to everybody and, oh, hey, let me tell you all about my experience of XYZ, because if they're not ready to hear it, they're going to shut you down. You're going to withdraw further, that kind of thing. So with the throat center, it's always tricky. So it's always the invitation that gets us able to share, right? Somebody says, tell me about this. How did you handle this? And then we teach, or we storytell. We write, perhaps, or we journal. We share, right, with others. But we do it in the right time, in the right place. The new moon here could mark the initiation of a project that involves documenting something of your history, your memoirs, right? The eighth house, Terry Strauss, that just reminds me maybe of something that's going on there for you. Creating educational materials for others based on your own personal or collective history, right? Could be. It is personal growth time. Right. There's that aspect of this. It's transformational energy, but through understanding, right? Understanding the trajectory of this experience, or of your experiences, and understanding the past and the lessons it holds for you, and then how that has contributed to your personal evolution and your maturity, right? Not just how it pained you or how it sucked, but how that has contributed to where you are now, who you are now, how you reflect yourself out into the world. And then it also is about completion, interestingly enough. So we're combining completion in with a new beginning, but that completion might be about closure, bringing closure to something that has pained you, bringing closure to something negative that allows the space for what could be, right? It's a new moon, so it's all about the possibility. It's all about what could be when I take aligned action toward my passions or my intentions, right? So closure, and closure could look like moving forward without baggage, right? You've eliminated the baggage. The unresolved issues have been resolved, and now I can move forward fearlessly, courageously, boldly. All right. I hope that makes sense for everybody. So journaling, again, it could be a very reflective practice here. It can also be a great time for you to strategically plan, right? Have some kind of idea about what is it that you want to create, closure and reconciliation. If, you know, a part of what your intentions are have to do with relationships or healing the wounds in between you and others, then reconciliation is another word we could use that the Gate 33 helps us with. Okay. Any questions? I'm going to stop sharing my screen for a minute. Go back to here. And J-Lo has a Leo PD personality third. Is that the Gate 3? Christine Buckingham, undefined throat, 33.1 mind, Pluto Virgo, 33.4 design, body hanging, red, black. So this is really like on you, Christine. And here's something kind of funny that happens with the 33. And I note that you also have the 13 defined. So the 33 could also be called the gate of the secret keeper. Right, the secret keeper, the holder of the histories, the holder of the secrets, right? The holder of the wisdom that we hold as a species or as a family or what have you, right? But something interesting happens when the 13 gets involved, and the 13 is on the identity center. And it is a straight shot up to the throat where secrets get revealed, right? It was funny. My husband and I this morning were talking about secrets and being secretive and hiding things from other people, and how inadvertently during this kind of a transit, the secret holders become the secret spillers. So it comes out inadvertently, not on purpose. It's just an open, it becomes a channel, right? A channel that's defined, and this energy spills out. So watch for that. If you have the Gate 13, the sun coming into alignment here can be where other people divulge secrets to you, or you divulge a secret that you're holding to others. Just be careful here. Karen's Corner, interesting corresponding with Mercury retrograde. We're going to go into Mercury retrograde here in just a minute, Karen. She's a mental projector, still learning that lesson. You know, mental projectors, you are such deep thinkers, right? Such deep thinkers. And, you know, the part of the projector that really wants to get heard, right? You have so much wisdom, right? So much wisdom. Our projectors are wise, right? And they're here to guide others. They're here to orchestrate, right? And when you have so much thinking going on, it sometimes plays into the spilling out of words before their time, or the taking of action before it's actually correct. So, you know, you want to be very careful. And I understand that a transit like this can be very disconcerting because it's so passionate and activated. And just remember, as a projector, wait for those invitations, because your energy is precious, right? And it needs to be used in the right way at the right time with the right people, just as your insights, your wisdom needs to be shared with the right people in the right time with the right opportunity. Okay, off soapbox. Chester's mom, good morning. She is a manifester, fire starter, a double Gemini, Sag rising. Woohoo! Lots of energy available for you this weekend. J-Lo, houses in the design of the genetic matrix. Oh, gotcha. Okay, I see now, J-Lo. Jolie, good morning to you. Christine Buckingham, people divulge to me lifelong secrets. That's because you have planets that are connecting those two, right? Something at 33, something at 13. And you have it, right? That there it is. Okay. So we talked about the new moon in the sextile to Jupiter and Mars. We talked at that. Let's talk a little bit now about the other thing happening this weekend, which is Venus moving into Virgo. And I wanted, if you were listening on Wednesday, Wednesday's broadcast was huge, right? We divulged a whole lot of information about the upcoming T-square that really dominates the month from about August 10th to the 20th, and maybe even a little beyond, taking us through the full moon, August 19th, the biggest day of the whole freaking year, just about, and how all of that is going to play out with Venus and being in Virgo. So I wanted to talk about what does it mean when a planet's in their fall, because Venus is in her fall in the sign of Virgo. So a planet has four different places it can be, strengths. Let's think of them as strengths or weaknesses, right? A planet can be in a sign it rules, in which it's called domicile or home. It's in its own home. And it's a planet showing up as it we expect it to show up. So when Mercury, for example, is in Virgo, we expect it to show up with analytical thinking, with perfecting, with being able to speak clearly and strategically, that kind of thing. A planet can be in detriment, where a detriment is when the planet is in a sign opposite of its rulership. So Mercury would be in detriment in Sagittarius, the opposite sign of one of its rulers, right? And it behaves unexpectedly there. And that's the detriment, right? And it can be where, you know, we have a planet that's in detriment and we say or do things, if it's Mercury, for example, at the wrong time, bluntly, honestly, and somehow we feel shame because we've expressed in the wrong time, and many other, you know, things that can happen. But there's a need here for us to balance, right? The good traits, the home traits and the exalted traits of the planet with the detriment planets, right? With so all the traits have to come into a balance, right? Now, a planet in exaltation is a planet that is operating sort of magically, right? Things happen with ease. Just magic, right? It's happening. The whole planet is operating easily in that sign. It's sort of the merging of the energies of the planet and the energy of the sign coming together, and they work awesomely. So for example, when we're talking about Venus, because Venus is in her fall in Virgo and she's exalted in Pisces, right? So we have that idea that Venus operates really well in the sign of Pisces. In the fall, which is what we're going to talk about next here, a planet struggles to find its expression, to really operate. It has to find creative means in which to, or an interesting way, to be able to use its energy. So it shows up very differently. It has to be wise. So for example, Mars, who's in its fall in Cancer, could be having to look for creative ways to express emotional energy because it's hothead, right? Mars is hotheaded. And in Cancer, which is more comfort seeking and nurturing, he's got to find a way to dampen down that vibrant, you know, aggressive almost energy in a way that can be caring and nurturing. So you might think like Mars would take on mama bear characteristics, perhaps, if he was in his fall. So what kind of characteristics might Venus take on now that she's moving into Virgo? Well, that's our question, right? Because she's going to be in Virgo for about 4 weeks, three and a half to 4 weeks. And so the expression of those Venusian qualities of harmony and love and beauty and values take on a more practical, discerning, service-oriented, perfecting tone, right? So sometimes the la-la beauty has to be more perfected. And Venus emphasizes the more modest and reserved nature in this particular sign, the nature of affection, along with a focus on serviceability or usability or functionality over flamboyance or showiness. We have this Leo energy, the showy, more passion, and then Venus moves into Virgo the same day as that new moon in Leo, taking us in a completely different direction here. So now this can be an excellent time still for beginning new projects, but we have to understand that we have to be more deliberate in what we do while Venus is in Virgo. And we also want to make sure that we're being practical in the way that we are using this energy. And we have to be discerning in our relationships, in our finances, in the creations that we make. Venus and Virgo, where was it that I watched this? I think I saw a video somewhere of this woman Venus, the Venus representation, right? And as a woman wearing glasses and a science like white lab coat, that's like this perfect thing, right? Where we have this whole logical thing that needs to go on, the whole analytical thing that needs to go on, the strategic thinking that goes on while Venus is in Virgo, or needs to be going on while Venus is in Virgo, but without the nitpicky, perfection seeking, critical judgmentalness that can also be present. So it should be pretty interesting. So one of the things that we want to watch out for is going to be that perfectionistic tendency, especially as it relates to our relationships. We don't want to, you know, nitpick our loved ones to death. Watch out for being, you know, too perfectionistic. And that can lead to feelings of inadequacy within yourself or within others, right? If you're not able to see the perfection in what is at the moment, then it can make you feel less than confident and less than capable. So watch out for those kinds of things. But now Mercury is also retrograde in Virgo on Sunday, like Sunday, big day, right? And he's retrograde in Virgo from August 4th until the 14th or the 5th, depending on where you live, right? On the West Coast and the Mountain Time Zone, Central Time, no, Mountain and Pacific, it's on the 4th. And for everybody, Central Time eastward, you will have it on the 5th. Either way you look at it, to the 14th, while Mercury is in retrograde in that sign. And it marks a period where we are particularly focused on reevaluation, on introspection, especially in the realms of communication, in organization, and in our health, right? Because Virgo, health and well-being. And given Virgo's affinity for details and precision and for efficiency, this retrograde period can really highlight issues related to those places where we've let the details slip by us, prompting us to have to revise or to review or reevaluate things. And it can lead to things looking a whole lot better once Mercury turns direct. But during the retrograde, it can be very disconcerting. It might feel like you have to redo things as you're going along here. So the Mercury retrograde is always about review and refinement, especially in Virgo, right? Especially here, because we have an ability to be more discerning. We have an ability to be more detail oriented, right? The details, if we slow down the Mercury thought processes, then we can see better what it is that we're missing or what direction we need to go in. And this can help us optimize the processes that we're engaged with, right? The process of creating something, right? So there's always the stepwise progression in anything that you create. So this helps us to potentially be more clear and more organized in how we approach that, even more strategic in that. It also is a time for us to think about our health in terms of our routines and to spend some time considering how much screen time perhaps that we're engaged in, or how much time we sit versus how much time we're up and moving, how much whatever food or drink that we're putting into our body versus how much we really need or should have in our bodies, what are the toxins in our environment? So many things, right, that have to do with our health and our wellness, but also our healthy routines, right? The routines that we're engaged in. So this might lead us to, you know, develop new routines over the course of time. And of course, this is all about critical thinking, problem solving. Mercury retrograde is already taking us into the introspective, into the inner thinking, but also then gives us access to new ways to solve problems, right? Because Virgo's attention to detail, we might spot errors quicker, right? Or projects that we overlooked might come back at us. That's always the thing with a Mercury retrograde, the past comes back. And sometimes it's haunting, but other times it's like, how can I redevelop this? How can I take a look at what I left out doing before and maybe resurrected in some way for use now, right? It's really giving us enhanced problem solving, and careful analysis can help us with that. But if we get stuck in the analysis, then it becomes analysis paralysis. That's also not a good thing. And I just want people to avoid getting stuck in that old Mercury retrograde thinking that says, I can't do anything during this period of time, because that's simply not true, right? If you're going to do things, what you want is the critical eye to the details, to make sure you crossed all those T's and you dotted all those I's and you spelled those words correctly, or you made sure that, you know, if you were doing a 5-step program, that you didn't leave out step 3. So being more deliberate in what you do, being more strategic, not stopping. We don't stop living just because Mercury's retrograde. We don't stop talking just because Mercury's retrograde. Okay. We just do it more carefully. We do it more deliberately. We do it with a keen eye to the details in this particular case. Okay. So work and productivity might be even enhanced during this period of time. Maybe you get more done each day because you're more focused. It's a possibility. Maybe you're more efficient in the way that you do things, the way that you work, or your routines each day. Maybe your communication is more deliberate and more to the points, more succinct. But we also have to watch out for the possibility of miscommunication and misunderstandings during this time. Not everybody's listening to this broadcast today, although they should, and knows how to make sure that what they say is what they really mean before they say it, right? Or before they write it. It might be a time to, you know, delay signing new agreements. And I'm watching this excellent timing of my brother-in-law move with signing a new apartment agreement or a lease agreement, and hoping and praying it's all done before, I know it is, it's done already before Sunday, right? Where signing an agreement there could be a little tricky. We'd have to really watch the details there. So challenges to watch out for: being overly critical. Right, we don't want to hurt people's feelings by being overly critical or overly perfectionistic. Watch out for expressing dissatisfaction about what others are doing, that kind of thing. Just be careful there. Analysis paralysis, I think I already spoke to that. Watch out for technical glitches. Yes, I love those. Not. But prepare, right, for those potential issues. Good thing this morning that I actually logged in 15 minutes early to discover there was this issue going on with my camera. Watch for scheduling conflicts, things like that. The details, right, that we might have overlooked. Okay, let's see. Questions, everybody. Mercury RX Tom says, straighten those pictures. Indeed. Totally Mercury combust in Sag. Laugh out loud. So me, that's Karen. Venus and Jupiter in Libra, my first house of self. That is for Jolie. And that, you know, certainly Venus, the next stop is Libra, right? So that happens later in the month of August, just in time for some of the tenseness of the things that happen from August 10th through the 20th. Let's draw a card for our new moon before I leave you. And I'm going to draw from, Here we go. The Wisdom of the Oracle by Colette Baron-Reed, because I love the idea that wisdom is inherent here, or in the name, right? We're wise. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for the best use of the new moon energy. And it says, time to go. Time to go. Number 45, which is a 9, which encompasses endings, embracing the completion aspects. I don't know that we've ever gotten this card. Time to go. Where are we going? Okay, so it says, and it came out right side up, and the essential meaning of the card is endings, completion, walking away from something because there is nothing else to learn or experience, which, by the way, leaves it open for something new to come in, right? You are at the end of one journey and have not yet begun the next. This is the moment to bless your experience thus far. Take stock of what you've learned. It's time to move on to new experiences and a new way of being. There is nothing left for you to do, be, or experience in your present circumstances. Take the risk and move on, even if you need to be in transition for a time. Your destiny is calling you. I'm also going to read the prosperity message, because in this deck, you have the general message of the oracle. You have the relationship message of that card or that oracle card. You have a prosperity message. And then if the card comes out upside down, you have a protection message. So let's read the prosperity message. This message is clear. The path you've been on with your work, creative projects, and business alliances have come to an end. You will not find the success you desire by continuing with what is now in front of you. This is an auspicious sign because there is no choice that will benefit you other than risking stepping into the unknown. It is time to walk towards something new. This card also pertains to the more neutral concept of completion. You've finished your tasks and can rest assured that this ending will open up a powerful new avenue of opportunity, even better than any you can imagine. You have done all you can. Now trust that spirit keeps the plan moving forward. Fortune requires you to conclude this chapter of your life. And remember that when you close one door, another opens. Wow. Profound, right? All right. Time to go. That is it for me today. Thank you all so much for joining me. I will be here on Monday when we'll take a look at the week ahead, including the new Human Design Week, the week of general leadership. Should be an interesting one. And that's it for me. Take care. Bye. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.